Good morning and welcome to Martinsville Community Methodist. Let us open our service in prayer. Father in heaven, maker of heaven and earth, you alone are worthy of our praises. We've gathered together to raise our voices in praise to you. We thank you for the wonders you have worked in our lives. Accept our prayers of thanksgiving in Jesus' name. You are the one true living God. Manifest yourself within our midst today. We know that without you, we can do nothing. Empower us to do great things today and every day in the name of Jesus. As we finish our opening prayers for the church service, may we feel your power. May each person present be inspired to love and to serve you for every moment until we gather together again. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, please stand and join me in the call to worship. Friends, we know what God desires of us, that we do justice, we love kindness, and we walk humbly with our God. We gather this morning to remember each other about that. To remember that it is always the right time to do these things. So, with thanks in our hearts, let us worship God. We'll start by the reading of the Psalms. Please turn to page 785, Psalms 51. Join me in this reading. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only I have sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was born into iniquity, and I have been sinful since my mother's conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear with joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain me in the willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from death, O God, God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give burnt offerings, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. So is the reading of the Psalms. Our text today comes from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 and 24. Let me read the word of God. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul, body, be preserved completely without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we just rejoice in the opportunity to open your word. We pray as we study your scripture and step through scripture trying to understand sanctification. We know, Lord, that you sanctify us. You separate us. You uplift us. You are transforming our lives every day. So as we walk through the scripture, Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open and for us to eagerly understand about our salvation and sanctification. We ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. So in my series of messages, first I started with Jesus saves. He who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a theme that you see throughout the New Testament. Paul makes it clear in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, where it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And remember, this is a promise. There's no restrictions to this. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then once you're saved, then Jesus starts the process of transformation. Jesus transforms. Jesus has started our faith and he will finish it. And of course, Paul writes about this in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, where it reads, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which is so easily entangled us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And so we know from these verses and how I stepped through last time, how Jesus is transforming our life, and he has promised to not only complete what he has started, but whether you are willing or unwilling, you will be transformed into a new creation through Christ Jesus our Lord. Which steps us into the next step of the process, which is Jesus sanctifies. Jesus will sanctify us unto himself for the glory of God, for the glory of God the Father. And we read that, the text that I read there, I'm going to read again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23-24, where it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Catch that, sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. I want you to understand, he will complete the process, not ourselves. This is not a self-help course. This is Christ bringing you to faith and then walking you through the process of sanctification, so that you are perfect and blameless before the Father. So let me go briefly over how the process of sanctification works. First of all, the work is being done by the Holy Spirit. Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Let me read that. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I want you to understand that one of the points in there I'd like to focus on is need to comprehend the love of Christ. To be honest with you, this love of Christ is very difficult to comprehend because you see, his grace is so great, so abounding. And Christ teaches us to forgive our brother, not just 7 times, as he told Peter, but 70 times 7. Okay? It's a tremendous amount of times, and that's for each offense. So the grace that we're to give is over and abounding. And of course, then Christ turned around and said, not only do we love our brothers who have sinned against us, we're to love our enemies also. Okay, and this is hard to comprehend. So part of the work of the Holy Spirit, part of the process of sanctification, is to get you to comprehend this great and great depth of forgiveness that he has for us all and that we are to give to others. And we're to be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, there's so many people that think that following God is about reading a list of rules and regulations and to follow them through your life. No. It's to be filled with the fullness of God so that people will see Jesus reflected in our lives. I remember so many years ago on the mission field where we had a lady giving a testimony. She was an older lady, probably in her 60s, giving a testimony that why she came to Christ. And she talked about, yes, it was nice to have the guys come and study the Bible with me and open the scriptures and show how Christ had sacrificed his life for me. But it was one of the guys' wives who stayed with him for the weekend. She saw something different in her. Whatever was in her, she wanted for herself. This is part of Jesus being reflected in your life. It's to be filled up with the fullness of God so that everything you do just radiates the life of Christ. So how you react to people in the calm, in the midst of the storm, to call upon the power of God, all these things are important. It's important that you don't panic over these things. You don't take your frustrations out on other people. How you react to life, being calm in the midst of the storm, and calling on the power of God, reflects the character of God in you. In which, of course, it also stated in there, being rooted and grounded in love. People see the love of Christ in us and through us as we pour out his love daily. It's not a one-time walk. It's not a project walk. This is something that happens daily. The scripture talks about daily pick up your cross and follow him. And we want to see this being reflected in our lives, that we're rooted and grounded and just loving on people and loving one another. And then it also said, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That is, your life is not seen as a religious life, but that your life is lived through faith, which means Jesus, as he lived out his life, he prayed heavily. He prayed to the Father. You can open the scripture and read again and again. He went to the mountain to pray. He went and set aside time to spend with God to make decisions, and he prayed about them. You see, we want to see Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That faith is calling upon God the Father, calling upon the Holy Spirit, calling upon God to transform the situation we're in. And part of this process is the process of self-denial. Now I'm going to read Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25, where it says, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come to me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is the man profit if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? You see, this process is daily. Okay? Daily pick up your cross. Okay, the process of great faith is not given all of a sudden. You don't become a believer, and then all of a sudden you've got this great faith. You can call upon God, and you can see mountains move. Doesn't work like that. It's a daily, bit-by-bit transformation. Every day you call upon Christ. Every day you give Christ your problems. Every day you call upon the power of God to solve these little daily situations. And as you go through that process, one day at a time, your faith is built so that eventually when crisis comes, trials comes, as you call upon God to do things that are sometimes just out of your control, you see God move because you know how He works on a daily basis. And of course, every day praise God for all the small things. Every day cast your burdens upon Him. So many people think they can just go without being in daily communication with God. And then when something happens, then we have to turn to God. You know, calling upon God at the last moment when you see that car coming at you and you know He's going to hit you is not a good time just to start this process of a relationship with Christ. You have to spend every day casting the small things, praising Him for the small things, and casting all your burdens on Him. And you need to forgive every day all those people who sin against you. Ask, and remember, it says right there in the Lord's Prayer, it says, ask for your sins to be cleansed daily. Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is not a monthly thing. This is not a yearly thing. This is an everyday process. Every day, bring your sins before God and ask for the cleansing of the blood. And you must come after Him and pursue Him. Okay, I want you to remember that a lot of people think this walk with Christ is just at my convenience or once a week. No, no, this is every day you're pursuing Him. This is why, as Christians, and as part of that self-denial, we do daily devotions. It's a very important part of the life of a Christian, to do daily devotions, reminding us each day to focus on Jesus, to keep looking at Jesus, seeking His desires and His passion. And of course, Christ came to seek and to save the lost. This is the whole focus of the gospel, the four gospels that we find in the Bible. This is what Jesus came to do. This is what we need to do as a reflection of Christ, as a reflection of being sanctified and set apart. We're set apart to go out and seek and save the lost. We're not set apart so that God can just bless us. We're set apart so that we too, like Christ, can have His passion of seeking and saving the lost. And of course, it says, He gains the whole world and loses and forfeits Himself. We need to keep a heavenly perspective. As the world falls apart around us, as you see things slipping away and it looks like evil is winning, that's not what the Scripture teaches. At the end of the book, Jesus wins. So, it doesn't do you any good for you to gain the whole world, this materialistic world, and forfeit your soul. And you have to remember, the reality is, Jesus does not need your worldly wealth. Okay, Christians are better off because of God's blessings, not because of their hard work and what they can achieve in the world, and what material things they can collect. Oh no. For Christians, we're better off with God's blessing. where we ask God to bless our activities, ask God to care for us daily. He will bless us. Okay? He does not need us, but we need God. So keep that in mind, that Jesus doesn't need our wealth. But as you know, as we bring the offering, it is a returning what God has already providing for us. And of course, the sanctification process leads to good works. Okay? Our lives are set aside for the work of the gospel. We find this in Ephesians 2:10, which every good missionary has memorized. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. As we raised money on the missions field, we reminded people all the time as we visited church after church that God has made plans for us to work, and he wants us to accomplish. These are not things that we just decide on our own. These are things that God has put in our heart, and he has prepared the way. He has made the plans. And the part that I have always been fascinated, and especially seeing these things play out in my own life, it says, beforehand to walk in them. I want you to understand, in following and doing the works that God has prepared for us to do, for us to walk in them, is not a fight. It's not a struggle. Now, I'm sure there is toil and great pain, but our success does not come from our pain. Our success does not come from our toil. Our success comes from God Almighty making the mountains move. God Almighty putting this task before us that through prayer and persistence and toil, he makes happen. And I want you to keep in mind that as we continue with the outreach in the park, it's not something that is becoming successful because of our work. It's becoming successful because we invest prayer and calling upon the name of our God to reach the community for Christ. This is what brings success. This is what brings fruit. And of course, in James 2:18, it talks about faith and works go hand in hand. Let me read that. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works and I'll show you my faith by my works. James is talking about that you cannot have faith without good works. Because in the previous passage there in Ephesians, okay, God has prepared works for you to accomplish and has prepared you to walk in them. So the good works and the faith go hand in hand. And this is all part of the sanctification process, part of the change. Okay? As you go through life, you all know people that they start out at one point, and then when you look at their life 10, 15, 20 years later, they're a completely different person. Their lives have been transformed. They have been sanctified. They've been set apart. And God is using them to get things accomplished that are on God's agenda. Now, sanctification and justification are two different things. Many people get this confused because they think that being sanctified and being justified are the same thing, that there's a process to be justified. The answer is no. Let me read Romans 5, 12 through 17. Therefore, just as though one man, sin, entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned, in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For by the transgression of one, the many died. Much more did the grace of God and the guilt of grace by the one man, Jesus Christ, abound in many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the one hand, the judgment arose from the transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned, the one much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that, as reading in there, our sin originated from Adam. So Adam's sin, and that was passed down to all of us. So even as we are birthed into the world, we come with sin. Sin is part of our package. But here, Jesus Christ, he has died. His body shed. The blood poured out as a sacrifice so that we would be sanctified, so we would be justified through grace, his grace. So sanctification is a process of being transformed. Justification is the position Christ gives us because of his blood sacrifice, his giving of his life, and giving us his grace. And that's why when you accept Christ, you are justified instantly at that moment because his blood covers all your sins. But the sanctification process or transformation is required and usually takes almost all of your life. And Paul makes this clear in Ephesians 4, 20 through 24, what it says, "But you did not learn Christ in this way. Indeed, if you heard of him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you may lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance to the lust of deceit, and that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." So I want you to understand that this process of sanctification, you have to put on the new man, cast off the old man, so that you can be sanctified. And it is a process that happens slowly in our lives. So as I wrap up my time, understand the sanctification process is one that God works in our lives with or without our cooperation. It's amazing so many people think that, there's no way that God's going to be able to transform me. I'm just going to be a poor sinner and just call upon God to save me every day. Oh, no. He's going to transform your life. He's going to sanctify you so that at the time when you meet Christ, you will be a living, sanctified, set-aside Christian for the works of God. He has plans for you. There is no Christian where God has plans for them to sit in the pew and do nothing. The sanctification process is one that it's easier to cooperate with God and cast off the old man, cast the new man, and live a sanctified life than it is to be resistant to God as he works you through this process. And we can see this throughout Scripture, especially in James. So the process is slow, and for many of us, it is tedious and a painful process. And it's painful because God is bringing us to pray. He's bringing us to pray in our hands and knees to cry out to him so that he can deliver us. Remember, Christ wants us to depend upon him, not depend upon ourselves. This old adage where God helps those who help themselves is an absolute false doctrine. God helps those who call upon his name. And so it will take a lifetime, and still, it really will not be completed until we meet Jesus in the clouds. Please stand, turn in your hymnals to page 888, where we will read the affirmation of faith. Please turn to 888. Join me. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins and was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, and then to Peter and the 12. And then to many faithful witnesses. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the One of God, the firstborn of the creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and the blood of the cross reconciles us to all things to God. Amen. Now, please stand for the benediction. May God himself and God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Go in peace.